Hi, I'm Doug Gordon, and this is Beta. Brian Smith is a writer for Mel magazine. He wrote a piece for Mel called The Fast and Very, Very Furious, Why We Get Road Rage and How We Can Stop It. He tells us what inspired him to go down this road.
I have always been taught that you can turn right on red, and so I always, when I got to a red light, I always felt like I sort of needed to do so, but the problem is, in Los Angeles, that means turning onto essentially, like, you know, a freeway, and so oftentimes in my, you know, my Ford Focus, which is sort of aging, I don't feel like it can go from 0 to 50 in a matter of seconds, so I choose not to turn right on red. And that unleashes a fury behind me. You can see the steam coming out of the cars behind me. And so that was my introduction to road rage, the things that people would shout at me and say to me as they rolled past me.
Yeah.
You know, things I probably can't repeat on public radio.
Yeah, so you've been on the receiving end of road rage, the road ragee, as they would say in traffic court. Have you ever been the road rager?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I find myself just have very little patience on the L.A. freeways, and I often will say things that I, you know, as I say in the piece, I would never comment on someone's physical attributes in real life, but in the confines of a car, you're sort of protected, and all bets are off.
Yeah. Know? Can you give me an example of your
probably not. I don't think I
of your road rage at its road ragiest. You can't.
Oh man, I don't. I mean, I told you know this balding man. I looked him right in the eye and I said that, you know, he was too ugly to find someone and he'll die alone.
Oh, dear, yeah. That's pretty road rage.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Did you feel guilty at all about saying that or no?
No, I felt pretty good.
Yeah, it was cathartic.
That's kind of did what it was meant to do.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and I think the beauty was that he couldn't hear me, so
he
had no idea.
Right, yeah.
So he's just going to die alone and have no reason why he is.
Yeah, exactly. There'll be nobody at his funeral.
Exactly.
Maybe you'll go. Maybe you'll go.
Yeah, we'll see. If the traffic's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So how far back does road rage go?
Well, from my research, you know, I found the earliest reference to it was actually an English nobleman, Lord Byron.
Oh.
And he wrote to his friend Thomas More in 1817 that last week I had a row with a fellow in a carriage who was impudent with my horse. And so I gave him a swinging box in the ear, and which sent him to the police. You know, it seems like it's been around for certainly before roads were.
Yeah. So
there were a couple of Chevrolet driver safety films with an old comedian named Edgar Kennedy talking about, you know, how when someone cuts him off, he shouts at someone, said, "This is the kind of guy that makes automobile people think up hydraulic brakes." You know, really laughers like that.
Yeah, when was this? This was in the...
That was in the early 30s.
I'm sitting on top of the world, just rolling along, just rolling along.
Well, I'll be... He's the kind of a guy that made the automobile people think up hydraulic brakes. Hey there!
Why don't you get out and let one of those chickens drive?
Yes, sir. He sure thinks he's the only fella on the road.
Yeah, and then I remembered you wrote about this Disney cartoon in 1950, which I remember, and I think a lot of our listeners will. Can you tell me about that?
Sure, it was a cartoon by Disney. It features Goofy as a Mr. Walker, kind of an everyman, you know, good-natured suburbanite who just transforms into a monster behind the wheel. You know, like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Mr. Walker owns a motor car and considers himself a good driver. But once behind the wheel, a strange phenomenon takes place. Mr. Walker is charged with an overwhelming sense of power. His whole personality changes. Abruptly, he becomes an uncontrollable monster, a demon driver. Mr. Walker is now Mr. Wheeler. A motor.
Hey, Jeep! Watch where you're going, stupid! God, it was
So in these two examples, the example of the Disney cartoon and the Chevrolet driver safety films with the comedian Edgar Kennedy, the term road rage isn't actually used, right?
No.
So when does the term originate?
Actually, near where I'm sitting right now in Los Angeles, in the 80s, you might recall that there were a series of violent incidents on the LA freeways of guys just... people just shooting each other. The first was this guy named Rick Bynum. He was shot and killed on Father's Day in 1987 with his three-year-old son in the back seat. And, you know, he was just going 65 miles per hour in the fast lane, something I do regularly. And this guy just sort of creeped up and just gunned him down. A month later, you know, four more motorists were dead from road rage incidents. Including, you know, the stuntmen from the Dukes of Hazzard.
Wow.
You know, shot while arguing, you know, a traffic light with a bunch of teens in a Jeep.
Was he killed, the stuntman, or?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's bad. So are there statistics that indicate how many fatal accidents have been caused by road rage and whether the numbers are going up or down?
Well, the best that I could find from AAA was that it's gone up tenfold since 2004.
Wow.
So, you know, it's hard to say because a lot of these crimes don't get reported.
Yeah.
And the most common reasons are weaving between lanes, cutting people off. But, you know, people have been run down, pepper sprayed, stabbed, shot, even beaten with a sledgehammer.
Oh, dear. Jeez. Yeah. So I'm curious about what causes road rage. You share in your story, you share some of the findings from a British psychologist named Peter Marsh. He co-wrote this book called Driving Passion, The Psychology of the Car. What does Marsh have to say about why driving makes us so emotional and prone to road rage?
So Peter Marsh wrote this book called Driving Passion, The Psychology of the Car. And he explains that it's actually the design of the headlights that are problematic, because they're considered these threatening eyes, which is why a lot of incidents occur when people, you know, fail to dip their high beams.
Mm.
He says that headlights give cars an animalistic quality, as do the four wheels, and so it makes it look like they're sort of horses bearing down on you.
So, and doesn't he also talk about the idea that we like view our car as an extension of our home, so we're like protecting our turf, we feel very possessive about it?
Absolutely. And so any threat to that dominance that we have, that we feel in the car, like a tailgating car, a truck flashing his high beams, it provokes this aggressive reaction with us, and it's almost sort of implicit. People are, you know, people who are usually well-mannered suddenly just, you know, start raising fists and freaking out just because people are encroaching in your personal space.
Yeah, it's like the whole Jekyll and Hyde thing in the Goofy cartoon, in the Disney cartoon, Motormania.
Exactly.
Yeah. How about movies? Are there examples of road rage in the movies?
Oh, yeah. My favorite movie was actually Don John with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and he literally gets out and puts his fist through a car window. But you can see road rage in Billy Madison, Falling Down, even Mr. Bean. So it's become like a Hollywood trope of sorts.
Yeah. Well, it is so dramatic, and it's so visual, so it plays well. And conflict, drama is conflict. So, yeah. What do you think we can do to stop road rage?
So I spoke to a former San Diego police officer, and he says the prime issue is that we all suffer from what's called it's the other driver's fault.
Mm.
And we just assume that we have nothing to do with the interaction. So he says, you know, the simple answer is to concentrate completely on your own driving and not to make eye contact with people around you.
Mm.
Which is difficult, obviously, because you're driving.
Yeah, but you got it.
He suggests asking, what would the Dalai Lama do? Which is something I ask myself. The
Dalai Lama doesn't drive, I believe, right?
No, that's right.
That's the key, yeah.
That's right.
So he'd
take an Uber, probably.
Yeah, exactly. So that raises the question with all the talk, you know, and self-driving cars, could they possibly be a solution to road rage?
Well, that's what they say. A lot of people say that autonomous vehicles are the answer to a lot of human-based errors on the road, and this is certainly one of those. So it'll be interesting to see how angry those autonomous cars can get.
Yeah, exactly. It will be, yeah. Right. So, of course, we are living in angry times these days, and maybe all of this rage is to be expected. We have, you know, we have road rage, now we have air rage, bike rage, computer rage, wrapper packaging rage, roid rage. So the rage industrial complex is huge. Do you think we've reached peak rage yet, or could we see even more different kinds of rage?
I don't know. I mean, I think the issue specifically with road rage is that it impedes normal social communication. So, you know, if someone cuts you off in a Starbucks, you know, you'll likely say, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. You know, you sort of handle it in the moment. But you can't have that interaction in the car. So I think road rage is unique that way because it foregoes the normal communication tools that, that we have. But, you know, I do think that, you know, as the silent sort of seething anger that we carry around, particularly men, is becoming more of an issue, not just on the road.
Yeah. This might seem like kind of a crazy idea, but maybe crazy is what it's going to take to stop such crazy, insane behavior. I want to run this idea by you. A demolition derby drive-in theater where people get to crash and bash their cars into each other's cars while enjoying some thematically appropriate films. You know, a compilation of cinema's greatest road rage scenes. We can have Don John in there. We can have Falling Down. We can have the Lynch film, Lost Highway. And then that we can also have cartoons, that Disney cartoon, Motor Mania, driver's education films. This might be a relatively in air quotes, safe way for people who suffer from road rage to get out of their system without causing too much damage or too many injuries. What do you think of this idea?
I think you're going to have some trouble finding an underwriter for such an event.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a good concept.
Yeah, the insurance premium. Well, thank you. Yeah, the insurance premiums are going to be through the roof. Yeah, so we're going to have to charge a fortune for people. Yeah. They're going to have to sign waiver forms. But, I mean, you know, all good ideas.
But it might be worth it.
It might be worth it, yeah. It might be. So maybe I should get on that. I should maybe fast-track that project. So has writing about road rage changed the way you drive at all?
I've always been a very defensive driver, thus the right on red issue. So I'm definitely aware of more aggressive drivers, more so than I have been in the past. You know, I'm aware of just of my own anger sort of brimming up to the surface, and I could sort of stop it before it comes out. But you know, I think the most common issue is people. I also wrote a story recently about wanting to update my car horn because I have a really wimpy car horn.
Oh, yeah.
So I can't even use that. You know, when people are laying on their horns and yelling at me and cursing at me, I can't even beat my horn because then they make fun of that.
Can you do an impression of your car horn?
It's like, hey! It's like really high-pitched, and it's laughable, Doug. And
yeah, so I'm laughing. Yeah, it is laughable.
Yeah. It's a problem. So the issue is that, you know, I think most common it's someone checking a text at a red light, and the light turns green, and then someone beeps up behind you, and that just creates like this visceral, immediate reaction to get upset. And so I've learned to sort of tap down on that, thankfully.
Brian Smith is a writer for Mel Magazine. His story is The Fast and Very, Very Furious.